This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now, here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody, here on this Saturday. Of course, one of the strange days because tonight we have to move the clocks forward, which is the most outdated thing I think I've seen in years. Part of the reason for that, I guess, was because of, you know, all the farming and stuff like that years ago. Do you think we might fix that up and just eliminate the, back and forth with this, the fall forward and spring back and all that stuff? But nevertheless, we have to get darker earlier and do that all the way until next year. Just brutal. So, not a good day for that, but a good day for a lot of different things. And of course, we're taking your phone calls. We're here till 11 o'clock. Greg Bell joining us at 9:30. Dave Grosby joining us at 10:30. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with headlines. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. reached a deal with the Giants to be released. He won't get released until Monday, but he's restructured his contract to make him a little bit more affordable to go on waivers. He's eliminated the last 2 years of his contract, so he can become a free agent next year. But a very strange situation in the sense that, here he is, not fitting in with his team. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls in this, too. Do you think Seattle should sign Odell Beckham Jr.? I'm a little sketchy on that, but we'll see what you think. We'll take your phone calls on that. Then, of course, we got the Aaron Rodgers story just continuing. Rodgers goes on Barstool for about an hour and goes through this unreasonable explanation of why he hasn't gotten the vaccination, saying that he doesn't need it and all that stuff, and saying, of course, that he's researched this stuff, and two of the vaccinations didn't work with some of his things, and he can only take Johnson & Johnson. He wasn't sure Johnson & Johnson can do it, but of course, he's now, of course, going to miss this game against Kansas City and be out 10 days because of that. He said that he was immunized, able to get some vaccine, some antibodies in his system after he had a positive test before, but obviously still unvaccinated. Now the third string quarterback, he's on COVID-19. They've got other players on COVID-19. Just a bad situation. And, of course, to me, Aaron Rodgers is just being selfish. We'll see what you think about that. And, of course, hey, we got all these different things, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. How are we doing this fine Saturday morning, my friend?
Hanging in there.
All right, let's keep on hanging in there. You're talking about Odell Beckham. He voided the last 2 years of his contract, but this year, how much is left owed on his base for this year?
He had $12.6 million guaranteed on an $18 million contract, and So the contract hasn't been broken down yet because they're still finalizing it. And basically what he did is he replaced base salary with signing bonus. We'll see how that goes to see what the cap number is going to be. So he's available on Monday. And then, of course, you put the waiver claim in on Tuesday to see if you can get him.
Yeah. Was the likely chance of him? I think somebody's going to claim him.
Oh, yeah, right? I think so. Yeah, I would agree.
I don't think he's going to get clear waivers.
Well, I would have to think the New Orleans Saints have to consider him, for as bad as their wide receiving core has been.
Yes.
San Francisco has to consider him. Philadelphia has to consider him. I think that there's several teams. But I don't know. See if you agree with this. I don't think Seattle should do it.
They got. I agree with you because you got DK Metcalf and you also got Tyler Lockett there. Those two guys there are playing at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
To bring in a third receiver that is looking for the ball,
right,
is gonna mess up your chemistry.
Yeah,
just being honest. If you look at a team, there's usually one alpha dog receiver,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a compadre like Batman and Robin.
Right.
Right now DK Metcalf is your alpha dog. Tyler Lockett suits him well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Agreed.
So you bring in a third leg, what's gonna happen?
And particularly, too, a third leg that's not going to get a lot of targets.
And that's the problem he has in Cleveland.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes teams have to evaluate where the amount of receivers they have on the team, mm-hmm. all their touches are gone, and right. where can you find touches for him?
Yeah, and I mean, he comes here, and again, I mean, this. I know that it was interesting yesterday, or 2 days ago, that Denver Broncos offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur talked about possessions, right? And he sees, mm-hmm. you know, it used to be, he said it was a 12-round fight where you usually would have 12 possessions in a game. He says he's had games this year where he's only had 8 to 9 possessions. And so, I mean, and you look at Seattle, I mean, their possession total was very small. Their number of plays is very small, one of the lowest in the league. And so it's like, so if you run the ball, you know, 45-50% of the time, you're only going to get like 25-27 passes. So if you get the ball to Metcalf, if you get the ball and target Lockett, how many is going to be there for the third wide receiver? And is he going to be satisfied
eight
with
possessions.
That? You're right.
About eight possessions. That's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look along the line, because I was thinking about that the other night, if they were to make that decision to do that, where is his possession going to come from? Who is he going to take from?
Right.
And then that's going to lie as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, sure, I mean, you get Beckham, you have him, you stash him for the year, you do that. Because, again, I compare it to the Percy Harvin situation. You know, and again, mm-hmm. the only difference is you don't have to pay a first-round pick and a whole over $10 million a year to get Beckham. But what you're getting is a guy that's going to cause a lot of the same problems as Percy Harvin did. You know, because Percy Harvin totally irritated, as the season went on, Doug Baldwin and, you know, Golden Tate, in the sense that, you know, they weren't getting paid, but Harvin was. They were upset about that. And then you get to the Saturday before the Super Bowl, and he's body slamming Golden Tate in the fight.
Yeah. Yeah, styles make fights, Mr. Clay. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that your style is conducive to what you want to do.
Right.
And the Hawks have two good receivers. They run, like you said, they run the ball for now. So those touches are going to be very crucial.
Right.
I think they should stick with the chemistry they got going on until Russell Wilson comes back.
I mean, I think it'd be more preferable if Seattle would sign DeSean Jackson. Because at least in DeSean Jackson, I mean, he went to the Rams with the idea he was going to be the number three receiver on a team that gets the ball, you know, to their top two receivers a lot. Now, again, it didn't work out. He got frustrated and all that stuff. But I think he can be less frustrated than, you know, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes. DeSean would relocate himself to that third leg. He wouldn't give you a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Odell is still thinking that he's the number one guy. And that's the problem that you're looking at with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to anybody that takes him, if you have a guy that you claim to be number one, mm-hmm. you better watch out.
Right.
It's not going to be nice. No, that's the problem that's in Cleveland. And that's with Jarvis Landry. You got the tight end over there. You got about two or three up-and-coming wide receivers that, you know, they're spreading the ball all over the field. Plus, they got two good running backs.
Yeah.
You only have one hole you're playing with. So you can't just run and keep just the one person, you know. Think about it. Go back to Mr. Clayton when he was with the Giants. Mm-hmm. He was the guy.
Right.
Right? Right. Eli looked for him practically every time when he was passing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to Cleveland, he's running back with his own college teammate. Jarvis Landry is just as good. You got the big tight end in Dockway that's just as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a couple other young receivers, and you got them two running backs. It's not that you're not going to get that many touches with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, my thought is that, I mean, the Saints should really consider him because of how bad their receiving core is.
Oh, definitely. The Saints, if anything, they should try to pay the way to go to Jacksonville out to get him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're horrible with the receiving core. Huh. Alvin Kamara left, Alvin Kamara right, Alvin Kamara up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Alvin Kamara all day. Yeah. Definitely. A team like the Saints could definitely use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, yeah. You know, Philadelphia right now, they're in a rebuilding mode. Do you want to bring him in and him be frustrated with the way that you're just, right now, you're not going to make the playoffs?
Right.
You're not that type of team right now. Do you want to bring him in and get frustrated? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's up to them.
Right.
You know? Because not only is he not going to want, he's going to want touches, but he's going to want to see that team perform.
Right, and they're not good enough.
No, they're not good enough. And Jalen Hurts is just not that type of guy right now, you know, to do that. No, no. There's a few teams that they have the cap money to get him, but they're not performing. That's going to be more frustration right there.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, if anything, you go to a team where you can go with some veterans and somebody that can manage him and work with him, and he'd probably feel okay being the guy that the focal point. Oh, New Orleans, he'd definitely be the focal point in their wide receiver core easily. Easily. Yeah. But, it, that remains to be seen, Mr. Clayton. We shall find out when Tuesday after 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yep.
I think that we'll find out what's going on as far as that's concerned. You know, and you're right, DeSean Jackson would make good sense for the Hawks. A third-rate guy, spread the field, help out a lot, everything over the top. Russell Wilson coming back, he throws one of the best deep balls in the NFL. That would work.
Yeah, I think that would be a good fit. So it's like, yeah, interesting. What's your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation?
That situation that Mr. Clayton just goes east, west, north, south, whatever way.
Yeah.
I don't understand. He's got to understand. The NFL set their protocols. That's their protocols, you know? You can't come in and try to change your trend, kind of like Ali, Kyrie Irving with the NBA right now. You can't make them set their trend is what they want to do. If they agree with the union for their protocols, you got to accept what they give. Now, if Green Bay wasn't giving him a test every day, if they knew that he wasn't vaccinated and wasn't testing him like they're supposed to, that might be a problem.
Right.
But now, coming out and saying that like that, you got to accept what they're giving. That's you. You're the employee. They're the employer. Right?
Yeah, but don't you get the idea that not getting vaccinated is one of the most selfish things that you can do as a player with your teammates?
Yes. Yes. It's not just the players.
Yeah.
It's the coaches. You're dealing with older men. You know, some of these coaches are older men over there. You don't know their underlying health conditions. If you bring that to them and get those guys sick, even if they're vaccinated, I wouldn't want to be the guy to be selfish enough to get my coach, my position coach, or somebody sick, and getting one of my players sick and exposing them to myocarditis.
Yeah. Well, Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, missed last week's game because of COVID-19. Now, I'm sure it wasn't related to Aaron Rodgers, but still, I mean, and they got a growing list of guys that are getting COVID-19.
Yeah.
So.
They missed their two wide receivers last week.
Right, exactly.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they missed their two wide receivers in that game against last week. Now they're missing them against an important game with Kansas City. I mean, it's an AFC opponent, but still, it's a very important game for them.
Right.
Because they lose this game. If you look at it, Arizona bumps back to the number one spot. Guess who bumps to the number two if they would win, Mr. Clayton? That would be the Saints.
Yeah.
No, the Cowboys would be number two.
Yeah.
He'd be number three. But it would bump Green Bay down to the fourth spot. Yeah. That's how critical that is right now, especially in the NFC. The NFC is coming. It's very crucial right now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, because in the NFC, you only have six winning teams. Six.
Yes.
And three of those teams probably aren't going to have their quarterbacks tomorrow. Because I don't know if Kyler Murray's going to be able to play. Probably not.
Yeah.
We know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out. We know that Jameis Winston's going to be out for the season. You know, Dak Prescott's coming back, but he missed last week. You know,
yes.
You know, so it's like it's a quarterback-driven league, and right now the quarterbacks are all shaken up in the NFC.
That's why you got to have good backups, Mr. Green.
Yeah.
If you don't have good backups in any team, you can suffer some tremendously right there.
Do you like Trevor Siemian? Do you like Trevor Siemian?
He can do what he can do, Mr. Clayton. Where else can we go? The words of the great Bill Parcells. He came down on money in order to get a quarterback.
We got
to go with what we got. I mean, do I like him? No. But do we have to deal with him? Yes. We got to go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they just stuck in a quandary right now. What else can they do?
They can try to talk about Philip Rivers and coming out of retirement because, again, he did say he's interested, you know, after his football season is over.
Well, the only thing about bringing Phillip Rivers in is that you'd have to bring him up to speed. That'll take about 4 or 5 weeks, and we only got, 8 weeks left in the season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. it would take a task to bring him up to speed to what you're doing.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That's the only thing. I'd love to bring him in. Trust me. Veteran.
Right.
Got a good arm. Does what you want. Smart guy. But to bring him up to task to what you're doing, you might as well just pick with what you got.
Yeah, not good. Hey, JB, thank you for the phone call.
Mr. Clayton, we'll talk next week, my friend.
All right. Sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
860-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay.
Well, boy, the Raiders are a mess.
Yeah. I mean, my heart just is so very sad for that young lady, Tina Tintor, and her dog, Max, who died from flames in the car crash in Las Vegas. I mean, she was only 23 years old, and all due to some very tragic mistakes by Henry Ruggs, who, you know, crashed into the car.
Yeah.
He was apparently driving at 154 miles per hour in a 45-mile-per-hour zone, and he had twice the legal limit of alcohol consumption. I mean, lives have been shattered.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's like that's as bad as you get. And then there's been four instances in the last 25 years in the NFL where a player had a DUI that resulted in a death. Dante Stallworth, of course, was one of them. And in this case, it's the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, just so very tragic. I mean, John, with great power comes great responsibility, and you can choose to exercise it wisely or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I just do not understand, the NFL has a call service available in every market where they have a franchise.
Right.
Given the pay that Ruggs was making, I mean, he could pay for a private driver.
Right.
I mean, he could have called a teammate. I mean, he could do what mere mortals do and call for an Uber or a Lyft. I just and the other thing that's remarkable about it is that Ruggs' passengers, one was his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and she's the mother of their child, a little daughter who's a toddler. I mean, who does that? Who willfully endangers the loved ones that they have in the car, or for that matter, others in the process, like what happened? It just amazes me, John.
And it's at 3:39 in the morning.
It's just unbelievable, John. And, of course, the Raiders released him for good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, just stupidity. And, he's young. He's, Henry Ruggs is only, I think, 22.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, it's just very sad all the way around. And my heart goes out to that family and all the families. And it's just tough to read. It's tough to witness as a fan. It's tough to don't be drinking and driving, folks.
Right.
It's just not something you want to do. I just don't understand it all. And it's just really, really, it's really, really sad, John.
How much do you think that sets them back as a team?
Well, I think the whole dynamic of the team changes. I mean, and on top of what happened 3 weeks ago with John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much can a team sustain as far as their ability to compete? We're all human beings. We all have different capacities and different thresholds. But my word, you're really stretching it now when it comes to something like this. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Look, they were able to stretch the field with Henry Ruggs because of his speed. And it created a whole different dynamic for the team once the vision of his ability on the field was seen this past year. But so it changes them. But they're just going to have to adapt, and we're all going to have to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's just very, very sad. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, I think what Rich Bisaccia said earlier this week in his press conference is, look, there's no blueprint for this. This is totally unprecedented. We're just taking it as it comes to us. You know, and if anything, he's the right man for the job right now, in my opinion. I mean, he's been a very calming influence when you see his press conferences. He's very to the point, and he's very real, and he's just a really real coach. And he's had to deal with young people's lives all the time since being a coach for plus 30 years now. But my gosh, it's just tough. It's just tough, John.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, it's like you look at the Raiders right now, and there's just so many things that are going on. You know, the firing of four people in the front office. You know, the John Gruden situation. Now Henry Ruggs. I mean, it's just brutal.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad to see that Las Vegas has a strict drunk driving law.
Yeah.
In the sense that you do something like this, you're going to jail.
Oh, no.
And not only you're going to go to jail, you're gonna be in prison.
Yeah, because again, this could be. I mean, the and again, it's probably not going to go this long, but it could be 20 years.
Yeah, it could go up to that, and you have a debt to society now, and so be it. You know, you just don't be doing that stuff. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
John, I got a question for you on the waiver wire situation, and then I'll get off the phone. Okay, so everyone talks about the waiver wire pecking order. And you know, for instance, the Raiders are 23rd on the waiver wire, pecking wire. You and JB talked about Odell Beckham Jr. and Deshaun Jackson. And all the teams are thinking about whether those two players fit in. The Raiders are 23rd on that list. How is that list established? Is it by winning record?
No, it's established the same way as they do the draft order. I mean, the teams with the worst records get the highest picks, and then teams with the easier schedule with the worst records go above that. So if there's a tie with the records between the team, the one that has played the easiest schedule ends up going a little bit higher.
I see. Okay, because I often wondered about that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't entirely sure, just so I thought I'd ask, because I knew I needed to have an answer, John. I just knew it.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's like because again, it's no different than what they do when they set up the draft order, because the draft order is set up the same way. It's like, hey, what's your record? If you're Jacksonville and you've won one game, you get the first pick in the draft. If you're tied somewhere down the line, okay, who's played the easier schedule? And the easier schedule gets the chance to do it.
Yeah. And then you were talking about Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
And where he might go. I mean, the Saints would be great because he went to LSU, but I mean, the Saints have no cap room. They have the second lowest cap room available.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how that's going to work for the Saints.
Well, it depends on how they restructured his contract. And you know what they're going to do is take base salary and turn it into signing bonus money and stretch it out probably for 5 years. And, I don't know how low they can get the cap number on that. So that we won't know until Monday or Tuesday. And, again, that's why it's going to take the weekend to be able to get this thing resolved.
Yeah. And I think the Seattle should just stay put.
Agreed.
I mean, OBJ is a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't need the problems. Hey,
yeah, that's right.
Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, John. Bye-bye.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Gil in Bothell. Hey, Gil. Oh, okay. So tell you what, we lost Gil, so we're going to take a break right now. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Tara in Mercer Island. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Mr. Clayton. How are you?
Good. How are you on this bye week weekend?
Pretty good. Looking forward to watching some football tomorrow. I hope the Cardinals lose. Like I just heard you say, Kyler Murray's probably not going to play.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also looking forward to the Green Bay game with Aaron Rodgers not playing tomorrow. And then, like you said, he might not play against the Seahawks. I think they have a good chance. What do you think of Russell Wilson's injury, and how do you think he'll look coming back from the injury?
I mean, I think that he should be available. Because, again, it's like he's now throwing the football and all that, and you know he's going to be dedicated to try to, you know, be there for the game. Now, again, how he throws in the game is going to be a big question because, again, you wonder about that grip, you know, with the middle finger, you know, still I'm sure going to be a little bit stiff and all that stuff. But, you know, I think he'll, you know, because, again, maybe he's going to have to throw some shorter passes and work more in rhythm and things like that. But I think he can be okay.
I agree with you, and I watched his workout video, and he looks great He looks great. And also he has a glove with a one finger glove protecting that. So, and knowing just how hard he works on and off the field, I think that this is going to be one of his best comebacks from injury. And yes, I agree, maybe taking short passes, but I also don't think his injured finger will stop him, because as Jamal Adams described it, is that he can still bend the top part of his finger, so
right.
That will probably help with the grip. But what do you think?
No, I think that's going to be the case. Like anything else, you're coming back from an injury. It may affect you for a little bit. At some point, everything starts to get into sync and all that stuff. But I think for this game, sure, it's going to be a testing process. We'll have to see what the weather's going to be in Green Bay. If it's going to be cold, then that could negatively affect things. But if it's just going to be, like 45, 50 degrees, that should be no problem. But I think he should be okay. And then, of course, with Aaron Rodgers, it's like if he has any setback with the COVID-19 as far as symptoms and that, then, he doesn't get back on the field until Saturday. If he has to miss another day, that could cost him this game. But I think what's going to end up happening, I can't see the Packers winning against Kansas City with Jordan Love going against Patrick Mahomes.
No, that's so much of a drop-off. And even though Patrick Mahomes has 10 interceptions, he's still a great quarterback. And do I think the league's caught up to him? Yes, but just how he moves his body and how, he's mechanically different than most quarterbacks, so I think he'll figure out. What are your thoughts on him?
No, I still think he's the best quarterback in the league. And I know he's having a bad season. I know the turnovers are affecting him. But I think that at some point he'll get things right and then get back on the right track. Quarterbacks go through different slumps and different problems and different things like that. And that's what he's going through right now. But I think he's too talented, too smart a quarterback, and has too much good coaching behind him that he's going to let it linger too long.
Right. And Patrick Mahomes' season reminds me a lot of what Russell Wilson went through last year, of not having the O-line to protect him,
mm-hmm.
and also not having the playmakers to step up. I mean, it seems like he's the only one stepping up, and that's leading to him pressing too hard and making more mistakes.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, because again, you think about it, David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, he's been out all season coming off the ACL tear. And then you have, their starting center, who's a rookie. He's been out on the injured reserve list. And so, you look at that line and it's so young, and it's not the same as it was a couple years ago, because they lose, Brian Bulaga, they lose Corey Lindley, who was the Pro Bowl center last year. So, yeah, they've lost a lot.
Right. And shifting back to the Seahawks, how do you see the remaining schedule going? I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, obviously the Green Bay game's going to be a big issue, because, again, at 3-6, it narrows the margin of error for the team. But when you look down the stretch, it's like, okay, they've got four very winnable games. They got Chicago, Detroit, Houston, and Washington, okay? And now the Washington game is going to be on the road, so that may be a little bit of a challenge. But still, it's like Washington's been terrible this year, particularly on defense. Then, of course, after Green Bay, of course, then you have four games in the division. And so let's say, for example, you win the winnable games, that gets you to 7. You split in the division games, splitting with Arizona, winning San Francisco, seeing what you can do against the Rams, and that gets you to 9 or 10. So I think that they can get to 9, and 9 I think very well can get them in the playoffs, because last year, Chicago made it with 8.
Right, I agree with you. And I actually think that we could beat the Cardinals twice, one with Kyler Murray missing, and then watching all the close games that we've had in the first half of the season, it's not like we're losing by that much. It's a couple of coaching mishaps and a couple of clock management decisions. Mm-hmm. But I really think they're close, and I really think that we could maybe finish second in our division. I know the Rams are, and Cardinals are tough, but I kind of think that we have a good shot against them.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you look at the Cardinals, and it's like, and they've been great. I mean, certainly at this stage, you think that they're going to be a reasonably high seed, but if Murray's going to miss 1 to 3 weeks, that's going to set them back. And on top of that, they lose J.J. Watt. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is hurt. He's a question mark for tomorrow. So it's like, you know, they could be in trouble in the game against San Francisco. But, you know, and we'll see where it goes the 2 weeks after that. But, you know, at least Arizona would come here. But if Kyler Murray's not going to be able to play, I mean, are they going to be able to win with Colt McCoy? Big question mark.
Right. Colt McCoy's not a very good quarterback. And you just mentioned Hopkins out. And what I saw from last time when Hopkins was in and out of the game, A.J. Green can't produce as much. If they don't have Hopkins tomorrow, that's going to have a really big impact too.
No question about it. I mean, that's one that can really set them back. So it's like, we'll see, but it's going to be interesting to see. And the thing that I look at in the NFC is that here you have six teams with winning records, and tomorrow, three of those teams, if you would include Murray, won't have their starting quarterbacks because you don't have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Jameis Winston's out for the season. Now it's Trevor Siemian. And, of course, last week, Dak Prescott missed in Dallas. Now he's back this week. But, you know, is he going to be as efficient as he normally is? I think he will be, but still, it's going to be interesting to see. Hey, Tara, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mike in Renton. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hey, I listened to your show yesterday with you and Graz. You guys did a fantastic job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, is that going to be an every Friday thing?
No. It's just, I mean, Bob Stelton was on vacation all week. Dave Wyman went down to Palm Springs. And so, Graz has been filling in, you know, pretty much a lot of the week as far as, you know, co-hosting and everything else. And so then, you know, they asked me, hey, can you do Friday? And I said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a perfect fit, man, because you guys intertwine quite well.
We've done it for 30 years.
Yeah, it was really well done, man.
Thank you.
So date night went well then, I reckon.
Yeah, because they wanted me to go till 6.
Yeah.
But then I said, well, wait a second. If I go till 6,
yeah,
you know, our caregiver has to get Pat in bed and leave by 7:15. So it's like we can go to Friday night date night, but one of two things have to happen. One, she doesn't eat and doesn't get food. Or two, she doesn't get back into bed with the lift and she'll have to stay in the chair all night, which obviously we can't have that happen.
Yeah, you got to keep the missus happy.
Yeah, so what I did is that I ended up, because I'm 3 minutes away from Dino's, you know, which is, you know, right across, you know, just right across the bridge. And so we went to Dino's, and we went there a couple weeks ago, and Pat and Lou, our caregiver, had a great time, you know, because they had good food. I mean, she had halibut last night.
Wow.
She liked it, and, Lou had a good salad. And then, then one of the things that we got them to do, because we did it the last time and they had a great time doing it, you know, we got the quiz channel on and, they were, looking at the quiz channel and trying to, compete and see how they could do in answering questions on the quiz channel.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time, John.
Yeah.
Hey, John, tomorrow, the Steelers and Bears are a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trap game, isn't it?
It is. But again, and that's one thing you know from the Steelers is that they sometimes become victimized by the trap games.
Yep.
Because again, you know, they sometimes play down to the competition.
Yep, play down.
And they can't do that in this game. You know, they've got to make sure that they can contain Justin Fields. I mean, that they can take advantage, because you notice the last 3 weeks they're getting better and better on offense.
Well, you know what it is. Our defense is keeping us in a lot of games.
No question.
I mean, if that defense was terrible, man, we'd be blown out in every game.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Hey, John, I got a quick question to ask you. This is for my sister-in-law. She wanted me to ask. She says, okay, she says the Seahawks got the two best receivers in football. How come Pete Carroll doesn't get the ball more to Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
Well, because, you know, they don't have Russell Wilson. Simple as that.
Well,
and,
I mean, two of the best receivers there. I don't get it.
The one thing is that sometimes the statistics can be, you know, a little bit crazy. And one of the things is that one in the league this year, there's less possessions because more coaches are going for fourth down conversions and all that stuff. And I mean, if you look at the number of plays Seattle has, you know, they're in the 50s, not the 60s for the most part. And because of that, you know, if you're running the ball 50% of the time, you're only getting 25, 26 passes. And if that's going to be the case, if you know your targets are going to be down. I mean, last year, I think, what was it, like 129 and 137 targets for either one of those guys. It may be down a little bit this year, but, I mean, you know, now, obviously, you know, it's a mix with Geno Smith in there. I mean, you know, what happens is that, you know, the best cornerback goes against DK Metcalf. And if the cornerbacks are lesser like they were last week in Jacksonville, then Tyler Lockett just burns everybody else for 12 catches, 145 yards.
Yeah. All right, John, you take care. Have a good day.
Okay, Mike, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421, ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chris in Nashville. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, Professor. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you. First off, the Senator, so I want to touch on Henry Ruggs. Will he ever see an NFL team or field again?
It may be tough, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility because, you know, still, I mean, he's 22 years old. I mean, the question right now is going to be, you know, how long is he going to be in jail? I think that's going to be the biggest question because, you know, in Nevada, they're very strict on the DUI rules, particularly involving death, and that could be a 20-year sentence. I don't think it's going to go that long. But, I mean, if you go through history, I mean, there's been, you know, four times in 25 years where there's been some kind of a incident that you have a DUI that resulted in the death of somebody. And so that's, you know, four times in 25 years. And so, I mean, you notice that, you know, it happened, you know, certainly with Dante Stallworth, and he was able to come back. So that's one. And then, of course, that was in 2029. He was with the Cleveland Browns back then. He was 28 at the time. Then you had Leonard Little, who had an involuntary manslaughter on a pleading guilty in 1998. He was in St. Louis. He was 24 and had a 19 level, twice the limit back then when it was 10. So he was given 4 years of probation, ordered 1,000 hours of community service. And then a defensive tackle from Dallas, Josh Brent. I mean, he had a involuntary manslaughter in 2014, driving home for a party and killing his teammate, Jerry Brown, in the passenger. Now, he was able – now, of course, the blood test showed that he had an 18 level, and that's more than twice the legal limit in Texas. He faced up to 20 years in prison, but he was only sentenced to 180 days and 10 years. So he did step away from football for 2 years. He tried to return in 2014, appeared in one game, and then decided to retire in 2015.
Okay.
So again, it's like, I mean, there is the chance.
All right, another one.
There is a chance that he can come back, but obviously this one is the absolute worst. I mean, you know, you put everything into context, 156 miles per hour, the fact that he killed the 23-year-old woman, it was 3:39 in the morning, he had his, you know, fiance or whoever you want to call her with the kid, she was in the car, and then, you know, he had a gun in the car. I mean, you can't have it any worse than that.
Yeah, this one is the all-time. I mean, they have video, they have witnesses, they have the car burning, the style of, you know, the way she was killed.
Yeah.
This one was just a all-around one of the biggest tragedies I've seen. In my personal opinion, if he settles out of court, he might do less than, I don't know, maybe 5 years, but I think he at least deserves 10 years.
Yeah, I would agree. And that if it's going to be 10 years, then I think that he won't be back in football then. That takes him to 32 years old. But I think this one.
No. 10 years, he's done with the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, another discussion. Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I was always under the impression that Aaron Rodgers was vaccinated. He never spoke about it. I've never seen him.
No, he spoke about it, but he misled everybody. He basically misled everybody.
Yes, it was all misleading, and he, everything was, he wanted to hype it up like he was vaccinated, but it was all misleading, and he was unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've never seen him wear a mask or apply to any of the COVID rules that other NFL teams and players are applying to for the unvaccinated.
Right.
I just think he all around just lied about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he said, he was immunized, and with the immunization, he basically got, some antibodies in his system, because I think he had, he had something before that. And so then next thing you know, it's like, okay, so where's this all going to go? And, he was never vaccinated whatsoever.
All right, and last but not least, OBJ.
Yeah.
I know that there's a bunch of teams that he could go to,
mm-hmm.
but I think all around, I don't know if it fits Brandon Bean's personality, but I think that him, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, Gabriel Davis, obviously they would have to make a move, a roster move or something to fit OBJ.
Yeah.
Or squeeze him in on a vet salary, on a veteran minimum contract. But what do you think about him to Buffalo? Is it possible?
I think it would be too much problems, because again, it's like, the ball is going to go to Stephon Diggs first. It's going to go to Cole Beasley second. Emmanuel Sanders was a great acquisition as a third. And so it's like, is he going to go to there and be a fourth receiver? Certainly he's going to be able to take snaps away from Emmanuel Sanders, but I think that they're loaded enough. Now if he was a tight end, it'd be a different story. Brandon Bean, I think, is one of the best GMs in the league. I think he's done a fantastic job, and I think certainly Sean McDermott has done a fantastic job. The two things that they've done together is that team is always healthy. That's amazing. And, of course, they're really talented. I think right now they're the favorites to be the number one seed in the AFC. But I think that's too much with Odell Beckham Jr. Because, again, what will happen would be the same thing if he would come to Seattle. He's going to complain about not getting the ball enough.
Correct. It'll be a distraction to Buffalo.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, go. Hey, Chris, thank you. I got to run here. So thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. And, Irish Mankey, stay on the line. We'll catch you at the top of the hour. This is the John Clayton Show, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.